The Bible tells us that everything we do should be done to the glory of God. It's not always easy to live that way. Sometimes we want to build monuments to our own glory instead of God's. Today we come to a portion of God's Word where Solomon builds a temple for the Lord. This effort by Solomon and the people of Israel serves as an illustration of this principle. Everything about the temple pointed to God. Let's learn more in this lesson called Building the Temple of God.
Ancient kings gained fame and status either through their military victories or construction projects. Israel's most famous kings were, of course, David, the warrior, and his son Solomon, the builder. Solomon's reign is given a lot of space here in 1 Kings and 2 Chronicles. In fact, in 1 Kings, nearly half of the space is given to the construction and dedication of the temple. And in 2 Chronicles, well over half of the Solomon account is related to the temple. Solomon's magnificent temple for the Lord will stand for nearly 400 years. Solomon has made preparations for this massive building project. The details are given to us in 1 Kings chapter 5 and the parallel account over in 2 Chronicles chapter 2. Now, for today, we come to the actual building of the temple, and we're going to look at it from 1 Kings chapter 6. Verse 1 tells us that the building project began in the 480th year after the people of Israel came out of the land of Egypt. Well, this lets us know that the time stamp is 966 BC. Now, over in 2 Chronicles chapter 3 and verse 1, that tells us that the temple is built on Mount Moriah. This is where the Lord appeared to David at the threshing floor, according to 1 Chronicles chapter 21. This is also the same place where Abraham had offered up his son Isaac back in Genesis chapter 22. In 1 Kings chapter 6, we're given a number of details that I want to highlight so that we can get a picture in our minds of this stunningly beautiful temple. Verse 2 tells us that the temple was 60 cubits long, 20 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high. Now, what this means is that the temple would be 90 feet long, 30 feet wide, and 45 feet high. Now, the building is divided into two sections, the holy place and the most holy place, what we call the Holy of Holies. Inside that Holy of Holies is the Ark of the Covenant that represents God's very presence. Now, over in the parallel account of 2 Chronicles chapter 3, verses 10 to 12, that tells us that two massive angels have been carved. Cherubim. They're crafted from wood. They're covered in gold. Their outstretched wings together spanned 30 feet. And they sort of stand guard, if you please, inside the Holy of Holies, guarding, as it were, the majesty of God's presence. Now, back in 1 Kings chapter 6 and verse 7, the skill and the precision of this building project is described for us. Listen to this. When the house was built, it was with stone prepared at the quarry, so that neither hammer nor axe nor any tool of iron was heard in the house while it was being built. In other words, all of the stone, all the timber, it's all cut away from the site. And when it all arrives, it fits perfectly together like pieces of a puzzle. Now, this is no small accomplishment. Just consider the fact that the foundation stones are the size of train cars. Now, in the midst of this description, we read a rather challenging and encouraging word from the Lord. He gives this to King Solomon here in verse 12. Concerning this house that you are building, if you will walk in my statutes and obey my rules and keep all my commandments and walk in them, then I will establish my word with you, and I will dwell among the children of Israel, and will not forsake my people Israel. In other words, No matter how beautiful, no matter how magnificent this temple turned out, it couldn't take place. It wouldn't mean anything without personal and national obedience to the Lord. You see, this temple isn't a good luck charm. This isn't going to protect Israel if they abandon God. Now, back to the construction project here in verse 22, we're told that Solomon overlaid the whole house with gold. Verse 29 adds, around all the walls of the house, he carved engraved figures of cherubim and palm trees and open flowers. Just imagine, this is built by the finest craftsmen and artists. They're using the best materials. They're exhibiting the rarest beauty. They're sparing absolutely no expense. I mean, this temple is intended to reflect the beauty and the holiness of the true and living God who's going to, in a sense, dwell there. This is his house, so to speak. Now, just think. Just think about the fact that the New Testament describes you and me, the Christian today, as the temple of the Holy Spirit. And then we're told in 1 Corinthians 6:19 to 20, glorify God in your body. Well, do our lives reflect the beauty and holiness of God who's effectively made us his dwelling place today? Well, now the last verse of 1 Kings chapter 6 says it took 7 years to complete this project. Chapter 7 briefly interrupts the account and describes the building of Solomon's own house, which took 13 years to complete. In fact, this is actually an entire campus. It's going to include the king's palace, his court, his personal residence, along with several other buildings. It seems to indicate that Solomon's house was built near the temple, and that's going to serve as a reminder that he is accountable to God. Well, here in 1 Kings chapter 7, we return now to the furnishings of the temple, and we're introduced to another man named Hiram. He's described here in verse 14 as full of wisdom, understanding, and skill for making any work in bronze. Now, his expertise is going to be utilized in making two bronze pillars 27 feet high and 18 feet around. These are massive pillars. And they're going to stand on either side of the entrance into the temple. The large bronze altar of sacrifice that stood in the temple courtyard, it's mentioned over in 2 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 1. More than likely, that was the work of Hiram as well. Hiram, well, he's a busy man. We're told that he builds most of the items mentioned here in 1 Kings chapter 7. You have this, it's called a sea, which is a large basin. It's 15 feet across. It rested on the back of 12 bronze oxen here in verses 23 through 26. You've got these 10 stands of bronze with wheels attached to them. Each of them are designed to hold a smaller bronze basin, and they're decorated with carvings of lions and palm trees down here in verses 27 through 39. All these items are out here in the courtyard. Now, inside the temple building, everything is covered in gold. The items listed here in verse 48 and following include the golden altar, the golden table for the bread of the presence, and the lampstands of pure gold. Finally, now here at the end of chapter 7 and verse 51, we're told, thus all the work that King Solomon did on the house of the Lord was finished. And Solomon brought in the things that David his father had dedicated, the silver, the gold, and the vessels, and stored them in the treasuries of the house of the Lord. Beloved, we simply can't imagine the wisdom, the effort, the skill to plan, organize, fund, carry out this 7-year project, but the result will be one of the wonders of the world, a magnificent golden temple for the worship of the true and living God. And don't miss this, by the way. Everything about the temple pointed, not to Solomon or Hiram or the stonecutters, the gold workers. It all pointed to the glory and grace and power of the sovereign creator of the universe. It was breathtaking, and it magnified a breathtaking God. Now, we got to remember that nothing today remains of that magnificent temple. But again, Christian friend, you happen to be the temple of God's Spirit today. So let's make it our priority today through our lives, our lifestyles, our conviction, our disposition, our work ethic, our attitude, that we enhance the fame and the reputation, not of us, but of the magnificent God we love and serve. Well, until next time, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was a lesson called Building the Temple of God as we continue this journey through the Bible. Stephen Davey is taking you through the entire Bible, Genesis through Revelation, with a new lesson each weekday. Our ministry, Wisdom International, is able to develop these lessons because there are listeners who support us and make it possible. Make your donation today at wisdomonline.org. Join us next time on this wisdom journey.